As someone who lives and breathes college football, I can promise you that this season will bring the mayhem. You'll feel it during huge wins and heartbreaking losses, on game-winning drives, or on drives that end in a post-game fender bender. This season, I'm teaming up with Allstate to highlight these key moments to let fans know if mayhem can show up on game day, imagine what can happen the rest of the week.
For expert advice, call your local agent today.
I am Freddie Coleman, my man Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons, part of Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 30 minutes from forward march with the Golden State Warriors, and how it still is kind of a big deal. That comes your way in about 30 minutes. The NFL is a big deal. Despite all the stuff, Jonathan, that happened last year, ratings are up. Nobody talking about any nonsense outside the football field. Nobody's doing this that people care about that does not involve NFL action. It's all about last stand Sunday, in my opinion, at least for two teams in the same game. You got the Dallas Cowboys on one side. It always seems to be last stand Sunday for them with Jason Garrett and his job. And the Atlanta Falcons, because I'm wondering what happened to this football team that, to me, should be a lot better than where they are right now.
Yeah, two teams that really underachieved, Freddie. And you look at the Falcons from that standpoint. Coming into the season, I was thinking, man, they're going to be so good offensively. Who's going to stop Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and looking at Moe Sanu? Who's going to stop those guys? Well, they kind of stopped themselves, because this is a team that's supposed to be a juggernaut, and they have really fallen short. Now, it's a big game for them, and on the flip side is the Cowboys. You know, if it wasn't for Jerry Jones, if Jerry Jones' name was like Joe Jones, or if it was like, you know, Marquise Jones, we wouldn't be talking about the Cowboys so much, because to me, we spent so much time talking about quote-unquote America's team, and they haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1995. Mm-hmm. Nine playoff appearances since 1995, Freddie. The Cowboys really are the Bengals in so many ways.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute now. Hold on now. There's no way they're that hapless.
Oh, it's pretty close.
No, it's not. The Bengals have employed Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones on the same team. The Cowboys were not dumb enough to have both of those guys on the same team at one time. They just have one. They're not that hapless.
Both teams are like your grandmother's wallpaper, just dull. They just, because there's no life to either one of those teams.
Even when the Cowboys are bad, there's always something going on with them. And to your point about Jerry Jones making sure that his team is going to be front and center, and they have not won a Super Bowl championship since the 1995-96 season. I clearly understand that. But the Bengals are boring, and the Bengals are hapless. The Cowboys, even when they're bad, they're always more interesting and always will be more than a team like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Drama is not championship level. That's the point.
I didn't disagree with you on that one.
Yeah. Wait, the whole thing with drama and make it, and the only owner in the National Football League that has a press conference before its own head coach, drama and intrigue is different than championship aspirations. Cincinnati and the Cowboys are the same type of team in that regard, where there are no real championship aspirations. A lot of talk, but no real championship aspirations. I've looked forward to this matchup because I want to find out who's going to take that next step. I think the Falcons have enough, but then again, you saw what happened to the Cowboys last week. Could they replicate it again?
Well, here's the deal with the Dallas Cowboys. There's no reason for them not to be the way that they were last week against Philadelphia. And what I mean by that is creative, getting guys in open spaces. You got an Amari Cooper. You have to use a guy like that. I don't worry about the Atlanta Falcons misusing Julio Jones or misusing Tevin Coleman or Matt Ryan. I know offensively they're going to score. Now, they bogged down in the red zone. That's an offensive coordinator problem when it comes to Steve Sarkisian. They have not been able to fix that. But with the Dallas Cowboys, to me, Scott Linehan, and this is always going to be the problem with this football team. They have too much of, we tried our best. And a lot of that is based on the head coach, Jason Garrett. But because they have an owner in Jerry Jones who does not want anybody to share that star with him, Jerry Jones is determined that he's going to be the main star of that football team, and that anything that good happens, it's because Jerry Jones was at the lead of the Dallas Cowboys. Never mind the fact that the most successful time the Dallas Cowboys have been that way under Jerry Jones was when he let Jimmy Johnson have the keys to the kingdom and they won a Super Bowl championship. And when Bill Parcells was doing it, then he decided to take Terrell Owens over him. That's never going to change with the Dallas Cowboys. And Jerry Jones, I know he cares about winning, Jonathan, but I still wonder how much of that is he willing to sacrifice to make sure that he does not get any credit, and I don't think he's willing to do that at all.
Well, that's the key right there, Freddie. yes, he does care about championships, but the unwillingness to change and try something new seems to be lost on the Cowboys and also teams that underachieve. Look, you and I both know every year the teams that are going to fall below the 500 line, the teams that won't be able to make the playoffs, the institutional ineptitude with these organizations. You know the teams that are always high on the draft because they don't draft well, because they don't get the key free agents, because they're not a desirable location. The Dallas Cowboys is a big name in a big stadium with a lout for an owner. But at the same time, you still have to be able to try to do some things new. And that's not just having one face controlling everything. Yes, it does come down to Jerry Jones, but if you trust the people underneath you to try something new as far as the draft, as far as free agency, as far as the way you look at your organization, then things could possibly change. We spent so much time on this because of Jerry Jones, mm-hmm. but nothing's going to change anytime soon.
Well, they've drafted well, even in spite of Jerry Jones. They've been able to do that, drafting Ezekiel Elliott, getting lucky with Dak Prescott, getting Zach Martin. They've been able to draft well. And I applauded the move getting Amari Cooper to try to make things work. But now, at a certain point, when do you say Jason Garrett's message is continuing to get lost, is continuing to get buried? Jerry Jones is not willing to make that move. Unless they go 7-9 this year, there'll be enough noise in that organization we'll have to make a change. Until that happens, you're right. It's going to be the same hamster on that wheel with Dallas. But there's no way they're in the same category the Cincinnati Bengals do. No one, for you to even say something like that, it's making my eyes hurt that you're trying to put those two in the same category.
There's a number of teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, like the Cowboys and others, and the Cleveland Browns, all those teams unwilling to change and willing to try something new. It's to me, it's the same. When you are not in the position to be able to get to the trophy, to win the Super Bowl championship, you're all in the same boat. There is no, well, this team doesn't get to the playoffs, but they're okay. Well, okay doesn't cut it. It comes down to being a perennial playoff team. Teams have been able to succeed and surpass the Cowboys, surpass Cincinnati, surpass Cleveland.
It's not
the
hard
Cowboys
to surpass.
It's in that same boat.
It's not hard to surpass Cincinnati and Cleveland. That's not hard at all.
Dallas is in that same boat.
They're not even close to being in that same boat. You sound silly when you say that. Seriously.
No, not really.
You sound completely silly when you say that.
1995. That wasn't yesterday.
I'm not saying it's not yesterday. Freddie and Fitzsimmons, Jonathan Hood, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. The Bengals and Browns have never mattered being a championship contending team in the history of their organizations consistently. At least Dallas has had that. And even they have not won a championship since 1995-96. At least they've won division titles and been a team that you look at barely 2 years ago where it took a great play from Aaron Rodgers to beat this team on the road in the playoffs. Now, I know that's been few and far between, but you can't even put a Cincinnati team that guys self-destruct all the time with them. The Cleveland Browns had Hard Knocks and fired two coaches since they had Hard Knocks. You want to say that those teams aren't competing for championships or should be better? I'm with you on that one, the Dallas Cowboys. But to put the Cowboys and the Bengals and the Browns that they're all the same team because they're not competing for championships, I've seen the Browns and the Bengals, how they've acted with their ineptitude. Jerry Jones may be a terrible owner, but he's not an inept owner compared to those two organizations that have those two franchises being led by those ownerships.
Cannot shine up underachievement, Freddie. Can't shine it up, man. I mean, nine playoff appearances since 1995 for a team that's supposed to be able to be a perennial playoff team because of the owner, because he's so brash and he has these big ideas.
I'm not disputing that about the owner. I'm completely with you on that one. I don't like the fact that Jerry Jones always seems to get in the way of the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones, but there's no way they're as inept as the Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals have been. It's not even close.
Yeah, I think they're in the same boat.
I think you need a bigger boat.
Yeah, well, I think they're in the same boat. A lot of these teams, can I throw the Jets in that boat? Is that big enough?
Sure, absolutely.
Can I throw the Bills in that boat?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Can I throw, for years, the Bears? Can I throw the Bears in that boat?
Well,
Chicago?
Well, we'll find out about the Bears a little bit on Sunday night, because to me, this is a bigger game for the Bears because people still don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. compared to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, we're going to find out on Sunday night. I think it's going to be a big game for both of these teams. With Chicago, I think that they are playing with stolen money in that regard. In this regard, if the status in your it was Mike Glennon as your quarterback, or before that Jay Cutler, then that was a low standard. So, but now I think your standard's gotten much better now because there's an identity. You can always identify the teams that are good because they have an identity. The Bears are going to be an offensive team. All right, fine. So if that's what you're going to be, then you've got to be able to push Mitch Trubisky and the offense to a different stratosphere that we haven't seen since Sid Luckman. And then from the other side of the tracks, there's the Minnesota Vikings. I told you before the show, man, I had the Vikings in the Super Bowl. I said all they needed was a quarterback, and that's still to be determined. That very well could happen. But, Freddie, that Minnesota team, this is a big game for them. Might be bigger for them than Chicago, because if they are going to win the North, or if they are going to be in the mix for the playoffs, they got to start playing better.
Right. I hear you on the standpoint from bigger game from the Vikings. I still think it's bigger for the Bears because they're still an unknown football team to plenty of people. And people wonder, oh, that team's leading the division over Minnesota and also the Green Bay Packers, who are the Chicago Bears. But when it comes to Minnesota, to me, Kirk Cousins has not been the issue. To me, that defense, I thought this defense would play a heck of a lot better, and they really haven't since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing if Minnesota has another gear in them, because even with the way the NFC North is going right now with Chicago on top, I still think there's a couple of teams, those two teams we just mentioned, it might come down to those two teams, especially with the Packers underachieving.
Yeah, completely underachieving. Great stuff by Jonathan Hood outside of that whole Bengals, Browns, Cowboys in the same box thing. Boy, oh boy. Talk about drawing me off sides of the 25th power. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie Fitzsimmons. Thanks to Pennzoil Synthetics. He's taking great glee in this. Taking synthetic motor oil performance to a whole new level. Make the switch to Pennzoil Synthetics today. See, that's why we can't have Thanksgiving this year. Because of people like Jonathan Hood. The days of Michael McCarthy are definitely numbered as Packers head coach. And so are other coaches who coach this way. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Let the good times roll.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five. Wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Here's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Phone number is always there for you to hang out with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If it wasn't apparent before last night, it's certainly there now, front and center, when it comes to Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He said after last night's loss to the Seattle Seahawks, he's just concentrating on 2018. He's not worried about his coaching future. There's no doubt, and you pointed the word out to me, Jonathan, about fatigue when it comes to Mike McCarthy, especially when we know that he and his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, have not seen eye to eye for more than a minute. But he's not the only coach out there facing fatigue, especially with this new NFL. I wonder how much of the new NFL, what the Rams have done, the Chiefs are doing, the Saints continue to do, may affect whatever coaching opportunity is going to be out there and who could be limited in those coaching opportunities.
It's a great question. And the new offense that we see right now, the RPO system is kind of what's in vogue right now, Freddie. That's kind of given Drew Brees new life. It wasn't like Drew Brees was a scrub anyway to start with. The guy's a Hall of Famer. But you could just see that he's so much more comfortable with the system that's in place right now for them offensively. They're moving faster, I think, than they did 5 years ago. I think when it comes to Green Bay, Wisconsin, I think that coast to coast, people would be surprised about how Packers fans and Packers media look at this team. We always look at Boston, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, about how a lot of fans really hold their teams accountable. But let me tell you something. On ESPN Milwaukee, and listening to fans there on that station, our affiliate, let me tell you something. They are not very happy about what's going on in Green Bay because they have a certain standard. They have a championship standard. Now, here's what we've seen. You and I have seen Brett Favre almost his entire career being with Green Bay and then falling short of getting more than just one Super Bowl. Well, hey, winning a Super Bowl is great, just winning one. But when you have a great quarterback in Brett Favre, and now we're seeing with Aaron Rodgers, you would think that you'd have more than just a cup of coffee in the playoffs. And for as great as Rodgers is, and some would say he's the best, you know, I think he's definitely in the team photo. You would think that somewhere along the line, maybe post-McCarthy, Rodgers can get himself another Super Bowl, because it's just not happening right now.
It's funny you mentioned that. I talked about that last night. Think about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Both have a combined 2 Super Bowl championships between them. When they were at the peak of their powers, and Aaron Rodgers is still there, but not where it was when he won a Super Bowl, everybody's probably thinking, man, Russell Wilson, with that Seattle team, the way they play defense, the way they run the football, he's going to have 2 or 3. Aaron Rodgers, the way that he's throwing the football, got those weapons around him, defense is not bad, he's going to probably get 2, 3, maybe even possibly 4. And here we are years later, and both of those guys still have 1 Super Bowl championship. And if you're Aaron Rodgers and you look around the league, you see, okay, Jared Goff's got Sean McVay with the Los Angeles Rams. Pat Mahomes has got Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees has Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints. Even teams that may not be on their level offensively, there's something there with those quarterbacks. Seems like they have a fighting chance. Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy, what they've been able to do their first year with the Chicago Bears. This team is throwing the ball and going up and down the football field. And yet Aaron Rodgers, the look on his face last night, 4th and 2, 4:20 to play, and they decided, meaning Mike McCarthy decided to trust the defense instead of his best player. And the look on his face going to the sidelines, Jonathan, and then when the game was getting close to being over, he just looked straight ahead and didn't even blink. He just stared straight ahead, didn't blink. He's probably thinking, man, all these other guys have better chances, and I'm stuck with a coach that won't put the ball in my hands in a game that we had to have last night versus Seattle.
I've never been one to be a coach killer, but I'm just saying that's what's best for Green Bay. And Packers fans have been saying that all throughout the Midwest, and Packer fans that you can find saying that they want change. They want to change with Ted Thompson when he's the general manager, because, yes, they were great in drafting and keeping their own players, but you never got to the next step. And the same thing here with Mike McCarthy. I just think that sometimes change is needed. And if you're Green Bay and you think that Rodgers is going to be a lifer with Green Bay, Freddie, you got to be able to find someone that can give Aaron Rodgers something new to look at. Offense is offense, and his ability is what it is. But I think sometimes it's a personnel issue. But in this case, I think it might be a scheme issue and maybe a disconnect between the head coach and a star quarterback in Aaron Rodgers.
Jonathan Hood and Ian Fitzsimmons joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. For the longest time, Green Bay always looked at Aaron Rodgers and said, no matter who we put around him, he's going to be able to figure it out. He's going to be able to make plays. You could do that 5 years ago. You could probably do that 3 years ago. More than ever before now, you can't just say, we got that guy and everything's going to be fine. Tom Brady has gone through that a couple of times this year when Jacksonville stymied him. And this previous Sunday, no Rob Gronkowski, receivers could not separate from the defensive backs. And he got beat like a pinata plenty of times by that pass rush by the Tennessee Titans. More than ever before, if you have a fantastic quarterback, or if you believe that you have a terrific quarterback, you can't just say he's going to make other guys better just because they're pedestrian weapons. Those pedestrian weapons may work in the playoffs, may get you to the playoffs, but they're not going to be championship worthy. Look at the guys that Goff got around him in the Rams. Drew Brees has around him with the Saints, and Pat Mahomes has in Kansas City. They have weapons that are game breakers at any position, at any level. Aaron Rodgers still does not have that with the Green Bay Packers.
Something else we got to point out, too, from an organizational standpoint, it was Alex Van Pelt. His quarterback coach. And Aaron Rodgers was not happy that he was let go, because they didn't talk to Aaron Rodgers about it. And he said on the record, said, hey, you know, I did not know about this coach being let go. We were very close. Some of the things that you look at within the organization, you make sure you talk to the star quarterback, because it's, you know, you look at Aaron Rodgers and you don't want to lose him. If you're the Packers, you want to make sure that he's happy. And if that means a change of the head coach or the offensive philosophy, keep him happy, because they don't grow on trees.
I used to be a big believer that you don't have to consult your star players when it comes to making personnel decisions. I think certain circumstances should dictate that maybe you should do that. And in the case of Aaron Rodgers, if you're going to take his offensive coordinator away, who has had a lot of success with him, you have to have a pretty good reason to do that. They didn't give him any reason. And I guarantee you, Jonathan, he has not forgotten about that, to the point where if Mike McCarthy is told to go bye-bye, Aaron Rodgers is not going to shed a tear when it comes to something like that. Now that that seems to be over between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Golden State, what now going forward? Not for Draymond, but for his used-to-be BFF. That's next on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, college football fans, Kirk Herbstreit here. Whether you're home gating or tailgating this season, score big on game day eats with Eckrich Smoked Sausage. And now you can enter the 2019 Road to the National Championship sweepstakes. You can join me at the College Football Playoff National Championship in Santa Clara, California, for a chance to throw to win $1 million. To enter and learn more, visit EckridgeFootball.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 12/20/18. Contest rules online.
That's what we do here in the Friday Night Groove with Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80 presented by Progressive Insurance. Having a good time back there, Jonathan?
Always. It's your show, isn't it?
No, it's our show tonight. You're snapping your fingers, man. I expect to see you, you know, stepping in the name of love like you're hanging out in Chicago somewhere, man.
Let me tell you something right now. Anytime I turn on your show, it's usually great music, so no surprise.
That's what we do. We try to anyway. It's not for everybody, but I like it, and that's all that really matters. And it's all said and done. We're going to get to Kevin Durant and legacy slash future, according to the aforementioned Jonathan Hood. But real quick, two great games going on right now. Toronto with a 107-106 lead versus Boston. As a matter of fact, that game is now tied. Gordon Hayward has just hit two free throws. Game tied at 107, 24.5 seconds to play in that one. Jimmy Butler making his debut in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform against Utah. And that game was tied at 105 between both of those teams. So the NBA, Jonathan, continues to be a hot property, especially when you got big cities involved post-LeBron. Boston, Philly, and Toronto as well. And compelling storylines where you got Kawhi Leonard, what he is going to do. Jimmy Butler now in Philadelphia. And is this year that Kyrie Irving can take his own team in the Boston Celtics to the NBA Finals?
That's funny. Everybody was telling me that the Eastern Conference would be like the Fresh Prince in the last episode. Hey, where'd everybody go? No, there's definitely talent in the Eastern Conference. And what I think that Adam Silver, I think that what the NBA people want, they want to be able to have balance on both coasts and in both conferences. And I think that what we're seeing right now, we're keeping our eyes on Toronto and Boston, as you mentioned, keeping our eyes on what's going on. I love that there's balance. Yes, LeBron is out west, but there's still up-and-coming teams in the East. It's going to be very compelling.
Well, it's not only balance, but you got star power everywhere. I mean, even in Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, what he's been able to do. Joel Embiid is always going to continue to be a star. Now you add Jimmy Butler with him. Kyrie Irving has 19 points in the fourth quarter for Boston.
Man.
39 for the game, 19 in the fourth quarter. And he looks pretty spry and pretty healthy. And then you got Toronto with Kawhi Leonard. They lose DeMar DeRozan, but that saga is going to be a storyline with that whole team and what they're going to do, because they've been the best team record-wise in the NBA and the best team in the East. So in a post-LeBron world, you could not have picked a better time to be in the Eastern Conference with so many things going on, especially the top of the Eastern Conference.
Freddie, let's call it out now. We'll just use the word could right now, but we could be looking at the Eastern Conference Finals right here with Toronto and Boston. I want to see that for seven games. Kawhi against Kyrie. Yes, yeah. Please. More. Please more.
You give me one of the three. I mean, because my New York Knicks are not going to be ready till 2021, so I don't have to worry about them being in the playoffs. And I only say that because Shannon Penn is a Knicks fan like I am. Jonathan, Shannon is always on the good ship, lollipop with the Knicks. I'm on the realistic ship when it comes with him. So I give him all the credit in the world, because at plenty of times this season, this has been my thought process with the Knicks. Because I'm just waiting until 2019, 2021. Shannon Penn, my producer, He's always going to be Mr. Optimism.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the Knicks.
And I totally understand that the Knicks are 3 years away from being 3 years away.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Calendar. Yes, I agree with you, Shannon. But as Freddie and I were talking about last Friday, I'm somewhat optimistic, cautiously optimistic about the Knicks, because I really believe that David Fizdale could be the Pied Piper to bring other free agents in. Like, for instance, there's a guy in Golden State that seems to be brooding that might be interested in New York himself. Yeah, I mean, this is not even hyperbole. This might be a situation. You never know.
I like Fizdale as a coach, and I'm glad the Knicks made that hire. I thought that was the right hire. But when it comes to that guy, Kevin Durant, I still don't believe New York has a chance of getting him. That's not to say, I will say this here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. I will say this. Before the season started, I said, you know what? People keep saying that Kevin Durant's looking to get out. He's looking to leave Golden State. He's looking to do this. I said, you know what? There's no way that he's going to do that. The events this week have not changed my mind with Kevin Durant. I firmly believe if he makes that decision, this week's events had nothing to do with it. He may have already made up his mind, Jonathan, one way or the other, what he's going to do, or maybe he has not made up his mind. But I firmly believe what happened this week when he and Draymond Green had that whole thing, and Draymond Green called him every B-word name in the book and said, hey, you know, we won without you. We can still win without you, all that stuff. Kevin Durant may take that personally, but I don't think that is going to factor in his decision, what he's going to do.
It's a tough one because Draymond, who was a catalyst in helping Durant come to Golden State, and then after playing with Durant, you know, I know, everybody knows, Draymond Green knows, that KD is brooding. He's sensitive. He's probably one of the more sensitive superstars that we know of. And I just saw what some of the comments that were reported out there that Green said to KD, in saying that we don't need you because we won before you, because KD is so sensitive. I think that it's pretty obvious if you're Golden State, if you have a choice. You can have a difference maker in Kevin Durant to go along with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry for the foreseeable future, or you can have a combustible Draymond Green. At some point, one of these two acts is going to get old. I would say Draymond's act is a little bit more old than KD being sensitive.
Yeah, here's from that standpoint, it's a lot easier to find a Draymond Green than a Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's a unicorn.
Yes.
You don't find those. You don't just all say, okay, we lost that apple off the tree. Let's go get the same apple. Yeah, you can get an apple. It's not going to be the same guy that Kevin Durant is. And that's not trying to minimize what Draymond Green means to the Golden State Warriors. His skill level works perfectly in this new day and age of the NBA, and especially with that basketball team. He's not interested in shots. He's not interested in points. He's not interested in glory. He just wants to win. He just wants to destroy teams, and he wants to be part of a team that does that. That's why he wanted a guy like Kevin Durant, thinking, man, we got Steph, we got Klay, but if we get you, we're really going to get on the last nerve of everybody in this league, because we know how you're going to fit with our basketball team. I think that still matters, and it will matter to Kevin Durant. But I will say this. Draymond Green got personal, and Kevin Durant took it personal. And he should have taken it personal, especially when he said, man, we won without you. We don't need you. Mm-hmm. A guy like Kevin Durant, who's always going to matter, who's always going to want to matter, when he heard that, I wonder how much of that he's going to take into a future further on down the line. Now, it was back to Camp Kumbaya last night, right, even though they got the brakes beaten off of them by the Houston Rockets. And it didn't seem fake, and it didn't seem canned to me. But that doesn't mean on the inside that Kevin Durant has not forgotten, especially when Draymond Green said, we won without you. You didn't win without us.
Here's where we know for sure that it has to affect Kevin Durant. It's because he's always on Instagram, always on Twitter, even his burner account, his real account, all of that. You know, he's always trying to do that millennial thing where instead of being able to express yourself man to man with someone, you go to Instagram and just try to find Maya Angelou quotes. That's not what you're supposed to do in that situation. You're a close-knit group. You see this guy all the time in practice. You see this guy in games. You need to be able to express yourself. But see, that's not who KD is. And to the point where you saw, and I know that you're a lip reader, Freddie, you saw what KD said after that whole combustible situation that happened between him and Draymond Green. He says, I'm out of here. This is why I'm out of here. Now, I don't know if that's how he felt in the moment or that's how he feels in the summer.
Yeah, we don't know.
But we got to keep our eyes on it. It'll be very interesting. I just think that if it was anybody else, it would be a question mark on whether or not KD is there for the long haul. But because KD is so sensitive and runs the social media so much and so brooding, he's one of the more unhappy superstars that has been. You would have thought, Freddie, that after winning a championship, after being an MVP, you had thought that there'd be a smile on Kevin Durant's face, that he'd feel satisfied. And he still looks like he did at Oklahoma City toward the end. And that's really surprising to me, but this is who he is.
I think a lot of that goes back to, remember he had that whole tete-a-tete with the media. It seemed that from that point on, Kevin Durant was going to put on this tough guy facade. Don't blank with me. Right. And that goes with everybody. That maybe that's part of him being his own guy. Maybe that's part of the growing up process. Remember, he got to the NBA when he was 19 years of age. He's always been celebrated. He's always been thought of as one of the golden children, no matter what basketball court he was playing on. And then when he left to go to Golden State, people did not look at him that way. So he really made that veneer even tougher. So whatever unhappiness he has because he's not getting the respect that he feels he should be getting, or the fact that, let's be honest, I love Kevin Durant, but that team is different when Steph Curry is not on the basketball court. So maybe he can't deal with being that second banana. This is what he wanted. He didn't want to have to deal with being the face of the franchise. Maybe he's having remorse, buyer's remorse, free agency remorse, because now he has that. He doesn't have to worry about that kind of pressure, but yet it still seems that he's still looking for something that the Golden State Warriors have more than provided, but may not be able to provide this when it comes to him.
Here's something that you and I don't know, but we can guess, right?
We're trying to.
If Steph Curry was in that spot where, clearly, if Steph Curry's on the floor, the ball's not inbounded by Draymond Green. He's trying to run the length of the court and then falling down. That ball would have went to Steph Curry. But instead, Draymond Green didn't give it to Kevin Durant. He took it to himself and tried to win the game by himself.
Right.
I'm thinking if Steph Curry is, one, healthy, or two, in that huddle, maybe these things don't happen.
Oh, completely.
But it just shows you the leadership. It comes from Steph Curry. And if Curry's not there, the leadership is gulp.
Right.
Draymond Green.
Right. Well, Draymond Green is a leader when it comes to running his mouth. It's a different kind of leadership. But the guy they respect and will pay attention to in that locker room is going to be Steph Curry. Him not being there in that huddle, maybe it doesn't blow up if he is there. We'll never know. I never like to play hypotheticals when it comes to something like that. But I don't think it's a coincidence that he's still 9 days away from being back on the basketball court, and they wanted him on this road trip to make sure things did not continue to jump off between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's worth looking. But going back to you and Shannon's Knicks, I think that the sun will come up in the morning.
Sure,
that there's going to be a brighter future.
Yeah,
you can
quote as much from the play Annie as you want. I'm going to use Jay-Z's version. It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life. That's what I'm going with, and that's not going to change anytime soon with the New York Knicks.
I didn't know Annie, but I knew Angie. Hey, Angie from the block. I know her.
Yeah, Angie from the block has given up on the Knicks, too, as well. Freddie Fitzsimmons presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Here's another reason why I love UCF football. And it has everything to do with Notre Dame. Keep it here on ESPN Radio.
AARP can help you become your healthiest self. It's why we offer health tips for your body and your brain. So take on today and every day with AARP. Learn how at takeontoday.aarp.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Anytime a guest stops by to share the knowledge, they're here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. Phone number is there for you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll give UCF football this. Not the fact that College Game Day is going to be there tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Not that they're the Saturday night football game as they take on number 24 Cincinnati and they're number 11 in the country. They will not give up on people not giving them their love and not giving them their respect. And then you have Mackenzie Milton, Jonathan, their quarterback, putting it out there in an interview with Bleacher Report, and he said, and I quote, "You look at the Pitt film against us and Notre Dame. You can't tell me Notre Dame is a better team than us." Then he was asked, "You don't see a difference?" Milton said, "Oh, I see a difference. We're better. Notre Dame scored late to beat Pitt, and you hear the committee talk about how great it was for them to pull it out. Then what we did to Pitt is ignored," end quote. Another reason, and I'm not being sarcastic here, I just love when a little guy like that is going to be like that little dog biting at your ankles. When you try to move the dog away, it nips at your feet. You try to move the dog away again, it's nipping at your heel. You try to move the dog away again, it's nipping at your ankle. I give UCF all the credit in the world in making sure that they may get disrespected, but they're not going to go quietly.
Cool. You think you're better than Notre Dame. Good. You know, we'll never get a chance to find out, Freddie. We won't know if that's ever going to be the case because UCF is in that non-Power 5 conference. You know, I will say about the UCF story, I love that story that they just continue to win because no matter what level you're in, man, if you're able to roll off a winning streak like UCF has, it's great. The thing is, though, is that they're very loud. They are that little dog because they just continue to talk about how great they are and how they should be the national champions and all that kind of thing. I talked to Brett Edwards about this early this week. He said, based on the computer, UCF could not compete against a top 10 college football team, top 15 college football team, and possibly top 20 college football team. That says a lot about UCF and who they are versus some of the other top teams that have one loss, undefeated, or two losses.
Here's what helps UCF, based on what you just said. The fact that they know it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they know they're never going to be part of the Final Four in the college football playoff rankings. And they know plenty of people are sick of the Alabamas of the world, sick of the big boys having all the fun, having all the money, having all the power, having all the know-how at the expense of programs like UCF. And they're like, look, no matter what happens, this is never, ever going to come to fruition. They hope that what doesn't happen to them is what happened to Boise State. Boise State, for the longest time, they've made all that noise saying, hey, man, we can compete with these bigger schools. We can compete with these bigger programs. And then the one year they opened up against the University of Georgia, and they got the eyeballs beaten out of them. And you never heard that from Boise State ever again about trying to compete with the big boys and all that other stuff. UCF knows that nobody is going to schedule them. Big programs are not going to waste their time scheduling UCF because to them, it's a no-win situation. If you beat UCF, people are going to say, well, you're supposed to beat them. You're Alabama. You play in the SEC or you play in the Big Ten. If you lose to UCF, man, how did you lose to that team in the regular season game? You brought them down to your place and you lost to them after all the talk that they had? That's why UCF can get away with this and put that out there. Mackenzie Milton knows they're never going to play Notre Dame unless it's in a bowl game and a championship or a semifinal berth is not going to be on the line. So, of course, they're playing with house money because no one's going to make them prove if they can't or can't beat a team like Notre Dame.
Freddie, Mackenzie Milton and his ilk is like the dude that goes into the bar and says, I'm just going to clean up. I'm going to get all kind of phone numbers and comes up empty when the lights come on. That's exactly what UCF is. It's like they come in and they got the outfit and they've got, you know, 20 different types of cologne on and they got all the kind of, they're just dripping in gold and all that, and that's great. But if you come up empty, I mean, yes, you are winning on your level, but you're not winning on the level of the people, the women that are in this bar. And the same thing with UCF. They're not winning on that same level. I just, you know, you've heard this opinion about how, non-Power 5 teams should have their own championship. They would be the champion over a Conference USA, a MAC, or and some of these other conferences. Definitely the AAC because they're doing well now. But I just, we'll never find out if they can even beat a top 15 team. I mean, I'd love to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Great stuff by Jonathan Hood and for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. People weighing in already about this at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed at Tweet J Hood. That's Jonathan's handle. My handle at Coleman ESPN. Coach Chris says, I really think that Notre Dame would destroy UCF. Sure, they blew Pitt out, but who else have they played? Jake Walls says, UCF is a big fish in a small pond. I like to see them win like that in a Power 5 conference. Mm-hmm. UCF has been a terrific and a nice little program. Give Scott Frost all the credit in the world. They were 0-12 when he got there. They were undefeated when he left to go to Nebraska. And Josh Heupel's done a terrific job keeping this undefeated run going. But when you play in a conference like that and people know that the conference that you play in, the American Athletic Conference, is nowhere near the worst of the SEC East or the Big Ten, whatever they call it now. It used to be called the Big Ten Legends and whatever they used to call it, right. At least the Big Ten East.
Leaders and Legends.
Yeah, Leaders and Legends. Thank you very much. So people know that, okay, UCF, we get it. We understand that. And yet, what UCF has in their favor was, hey, we beat an SEC team. We beat Auburn. They weren't motivated, but that's not our problem. That's not our fault. So now they have that skin on the wall that they can use to back up how much fat-mouthing they continue to do about how they're the real national champion from last year and how they could beat Notre Dame if they played them this year.
You know game day is going to be lit tomorrow, right?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the signs that are going to be there at UCF in beautiful downtown Orlando, the home of Lee Corso?
Hey, girl, let me tell you, I drink your bath water. I pay your bills. That's UCF. That's exactly what it is. And then coming up empty, nothing at the end of the night. That's UCF. But, again, I'm not going to take anything away from their success, though. But you can't, as a fan, talk about, well, now we're ready for Alabama, now we're ready for Georgia, now we're ready for Michigan. You don't know that, and you won't. And by the way, you may try to schedule it, but if I'm one of the big boys in the top five, I don't need to play you. You need to come play us.
Right.
So
twice, if you're
twice.
That good.
1-1?
Yeah. Right. Not 1-1. Not 2-1. 2-0. You play us here twice, and you get your check, and you move on down the line.
Fred, you wouldn't take you wouldn't send them to Orlando, your team? You wouldn't play them there, huh?
That's a recruiting trip. I'm not going to play them in their building. You think you're that good? Come play us on our turf. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
Don't forget, hosting a Thanksgiving gathering is no small accomplishment. Show them just how much you appreciate all the hard work with 24 multicolored roses for $24 from 1-800-Flowers. To go to 1-800-Flowers, you can do that at 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN to order those 24 multicolored roses today. He is Jonathan Hood. I am Freddie Coleman. We're hoping that Chiefs Rams on Monday night will be this game part two or that game part two. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
If you're a smoker, you know switching isn't easy. You've tried vapes and e-cigs. They just didn't deliver the satisfaction you expected. But Juul is different. It's not an e-cigarette. It's a vapor product that actually satisfies. Plus, Juul is simple to use, and there's no cigarette ash and no lingering odor. As a smoker, you expect a certain nicotine experience, right? Juul delivers. Give Juul a try. Check out juul.com/sports. Switch and be satisfied. Yes, you can do both. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.